Blog Talk Radio.
Good chilly evening to you folks. This is the Sunday show on Here Be Monsters Radio with Jack Jodell, Wayne Johnson, and myself, Gwen Berry. And we're scattered across the country from north to south. We're going to talk about that big Arctic blast and a few other things that have happened this past week. Let me get back over to my and turn Jack back on because his mic.
There's
always
been a big Arctic blast ever since Trump entered the White House.
I thought that was putrid hot air.
Yeah. Anyway, yeah, it's supposed to get brutally cold this week. I've been through it before many times. Not fun, but it's bearable. You can go through it. But the media makes all kinds of noise about it because they got to sell papers and sell news space and all that stuff. So they make it seem bigger than it is, like they do with everything else. But I'm not too worried because I've been experiencing this shit every year in some capacity. Maybe not this bad right now, but it will be okay.
It's being called a polar vortex intrusion.
Right.
Dangerous, brutal, and I'm sure it will be. And I have no doubt that, you have probably gone through this before.
I'll share with the reader or with the listeners what I just talked to you about before we started, Gwen. It was the New Year's Day of 1974. I was coming home late New Year's Eve, the previous night, from a party north of the city. And my entire journey was about 10 miles. And about 5 or 6 miles on the way, my car's thermostat froze up. And when that happens, your heat disappears in the car. And it gets brutally, brutally cold. Your windows fog up because of your condensation of your breath. I mean, it was pretty miserable, and so I had to I could start the car and go for about maybe a mile or a mile and a half at the most, and then it would overheat. It actually would overheat because the thermostat wasn't working properly, and it was a miserable night. So I'll never forget that. That was a long time. It was the beginning of 1974. That's how I remember it. It was something else.
You're right. I got out of prep school that year.
Yeah.
That was a young Jackie.
Yeah, I was pretty young in those days, yeah. I just turned, I hadn't even turned 21. I was almost 21, so. But you're young and hardy, and you don't think about those things. You know, somebody else is going to die, not you. You know how that is. You're Superman until you're a certain age, till you finally realize, wait a minute.
True. And when I was in, I went to school, I went to college in Western New York State. Well, I was born in Rochester, but I grew up between New York State and Florida. And I can remember in the 70s when we had, you remember the gas shortages and the fuel shortages?
Oh, yeah.
I went to a boarding school, so it was like I was home for Christmas until Easter, and then went back to school because.
Oh yeah, that was brutal.
Dorms and stuff, and I remember in 1977 we got hit with a blizzard in the Northeast that I was stuck on Route 14, going down to the bottom of the state towards New York because I was coming home for Christmas in my little TR6 Triumph. And packed snow roads. And I am, but five speed baby. But I was, you talk about holding your jewels all the way.
Oh, yeah. Hey, Wayne, how about you? Have you ever encountered that kind of cold in your life? Have you ever been trapped in something like that?
Yeah, there was, let's see, what years, I was laid off. In the 2003 time frame, I think it was.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, we ended up. It was one of the typical nor'eastern, you know, where the Gulf here is running up the coast counterclockwise rotation, coming up through the south where they were getting hammered, and then when she gets up here to the Mid-Atlantic, you know, the condensation just pulls the moisture off the ocean and then just dumps it on the peninsula here around the Chesapeake Bay, D.C. area.
Yeah.
We ended up with 5 feet of snow.
Yeah, wow. It's a miracle, you know, you can absorb all that stuff and then it finally all melts. It seems like it will never do that, but it's just weird how that works not every year, but often enough that you can remember it fairly clearly, you know, so.
I got to tell you, gentlemen, it's like going down into the 50s here in Port St. Lucie, Florida tonight, and it's a wet cold, so it's kind of like in
really
the 30s. But the thing is, I miss being in my little house up on the hill in Watkins and watching the snow fall. It's one of the anywhere I've been to, you know, be comfortable, warm, and either reading or even have the TV down played in the background, but watching the snow fall in the moonlight, and it's one of the most beautiful things.
It's really enchanting in a way. It's cold outside, and you're glad to be inside with the heat and everything. But it is kind of enchanting to just watch the little snowflakes come down and coat the ground.
The moon shining.
Yeah, with the moon shining. There you go.
Yeah, it's
beautiful.
It's a magic thing, and nature is magic.
One thing is for sure: it's nowhere as cold as it is in Trump's chest and his administration's chest. Those bastards don't care about anything. And they proved it this past week with the remarks of Wilbur Ross not having any insight as to how people were suffering during this crazy shutdown. How does Kristen Nielsen, all of them.
Gratis, give you groceries because they feel sorry for you.
Yeah, that's
You know, it's not your family grocer anymore. These are industry corporations. If you show up at a cash register with no money, they're going to tell you, leave the cart there, get the hell out, and quit wasting my time.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, so.
Piggly Wiggly is not run by, you know, the jackbite down the street that used to have the open counter and the stocks behind him. And the thing is that, I mean, all small businesses took a real hit this last year with his fabulous economy going and jobs.
All his tariffs and all that nonsense.
I did half the gross business on wholesale myself in my own industry that I do generally. I mean, it has fluctuated from year to year, but I took a real hit this last year, a serious one. So I have to reconstruct and stuff, but there are a lot of people who have, and then you get
some people were wiped out completely.
That's terrible.
Oh, yeah. People that are working middle class, you know, working in government their whole lives, were getting eviction notices. Banks were sending miss a payment. We're starting foreclosures here, house loans, car loans. They didn't give a damn.
People were parking their lease cars and cars that, you know, they had payments to make. Parking them at friends' homes and stuff, you know, in other parts of the city and stuff like that, and taking mass transit so they wouldn't lose their automobile because, you know, they can.
The banks will pick them up.
Yeah, but the banks will pick them up, and it's like three times as expensive to get it back.
Yeah. You know, this was inexcusable. There is absolutely no excuse for this nonsense. And Trump just did it, another episode of grandstanding that we're paying for. You know, this guy is absolutely despicable. His whole administration, they were all born with silver spoons in their mouth. There isn't a single person there who rose up by their own bootstraps or had to struggle once in their life. You can tell by the way they talk and their attitude and what they say. These people are nuts. They have no clue what regular people have to go through in a Trump economy.
Some of them grew up poor and got up by whatever bootstraps. And
they completely forgot.
Well, no, it's not they forgot. It's that they were disgusted. They became profiteers. And they have no heart. And
absolutely no heart,
And that's not what a Republican used to be at all.
No.
That is not what a Republican used to be at all.
No.
And I heard on the news them talking about who's the guy that they're sending down to the Venezuela, the Iran-Contra guy, and they even had your friend Jack Kemp in there with the bundle of nasty Republicans in that commentary.
Oh, yeah.
It was.
Well, Ollie North is running the NRA now. I didn't know that. That son of a bitch.
Yeah.
I've never liked that guy.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true. And there's a lot to be said, too, that we listen to news. At least most of the media I listen to or take as due diligent. If they print or have somebody on that is deliberately said an untruth, a lie, or something, they will bring it up and correct it.
Yeah.
I'm talking mostly about MSNBC, but CNN does it too.
Oh yeah.
I guess that one of the biggest things going on in undercurrents right now is the past weekend the right wing has taken out on Trump and his administration.
Oh,
Ann
Coulter, what a bitch! She's her heart is sub zero. I've never liked her. She's a terrible woman.
Well, she's something I don't use the word. You know what I'm saying?
I understand.
And I even resigned my sorority because she was a member.
Yeah.
I don't know. You're asking me for money to pay for, you know, to help the sisters now get Ann Coulter in for a luncheon to sell her book.
Later.
I wrote a national anchor and resigned that day.
Yeah, good for you. Good for you, Gwen.
You got
you know,
kidding.
That woman is absolutely despicable. She is loathsome, and I'm being polite by saying that. She is absolutely horrible. What a cold-hearted, sub-zero-hearted bitch. I've never had the time of day for her. She's too snotty. She's too mouthy. She doesn't give a flying fuck about anybody but herself, and she's so far right-wing. She's got her head stuck firmly up you-know-what, and it will never come out.
You know, Jack, I think the thing with Ms. Coulter is that this is her shtick. This is what she does.
She does it to get attention, just like Trump.
To make money. This is how she makes her money. And she's greedy. Very greedy.
Exactly.
And she likes the negative attention because it puts cameras on her. And
Absolutely. And you know what? That is really that's a form of prostitution. Really, let's be real about it.
Well, that's the cult of personality. There,
it is.
Perfect example of it. And what bothers me most is that Bill Maher never called her out on it.
Isn't that incredible? Bill Maher will
shake hands and call Roger Stone a friend, and he's supposed to be a pal of Gonzo. I don't think.
Yeah, that's pretty amazing. It kind of defies logic, you know. One thing's for sure, though, it's come to light that this Maduro in Venezuela, he's no Hugo Chavez. There's no doubt about it. I mean, he tried to carry on, but he's very corrupt, and his people are suffering horribly right now, and that's why it's leading to the rise of a very pro-Western guy. I forget his name now, but it looks they're kind of forcing him into having an election down there, because the last one, he basically, he strong-armed his way back into the presidency, but, he's not running the country properly. And, he's actually ruining the economy.
He's a despot.
Hey, let me,
yeah, right.
That line. Wait a minute. Let me interject in there, darling. I had a coworker when I was out in Columbus. He was actually one of the supervisors of one of the teams. He was from Venezuela. His mother and father are still there. His brother is running the family cabinet shop, but there's no wood to be had or anything.
Oh, yeah. And no food.
This would have been back in August, he said. They are expecting 1,000,000% inflation rate in Venezuela.
Oh.
Let me put this in perspective to our listeners. If a loaf of bread costs you $1 in January, by December, that loaf of bread will cost you $1,000. That's the kind of damage that economy is going through right now.
And that leads to nothing but warfare down the line. The same thing happened in Weimar Republic, Germany, right after World War One. It went all to hell, and you know what arose from that? Hitler.
Right. Exactly.
So it's just not a healthy situation down there. And you know what else? Our right wing is working behind the scenes to make it even worse down there. They can't wait to get rid of this this leftist regime that's been in power for many years. And they're aiding and abetting something that's already bad. So,
and the thing is, let me interject here. Russia and Putin are for the strong arm, who also has the military behind him.
Right.
So get ready to see such military. Well, like I said, I was down in South America, in Chile and Argentina, when the military juntas were in charge, and the atrocities they committed to their population.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Well, you're going to see that very rapidly. People are having to leave the country. They're running towards Colombia to get out. Now,
yeah, it's pretty crazy.
He tried to get his mom and dad here. And his brother, of course, his mom and dad are elderly and, you know, beyond working years, kind of age. But because of Trump's, we're not going to take these immigrants from the shithole Latin countries, right? He couldn't get them in. He's tried for like 3 years.
Yeah, that's terrible. That's typical
of
Trump.
And now his mom and dad are down there in the middle of that stuff. Wait till the military junta starts opening up on the civilian population to keep them in line.
Well, that'll be the next thing. You wait and see. It's going to happen. Now, here's the funny thing. Both China and Russia are supporting Maduro, who is the current president down there, whereas the U.S. and the U.K. and the European Union supports his opposition.
Right. Trust me. If Putin tells Trump, "You're staying the hell out of this," guess what the United States is going to do?
Yeah, they'll take a neutralist line. That's right.
They want to take over under the Russian control.
There is actually serious talk on, like, Brian Williams at 11 o'clock on MSNBC, which a lot of people will stay up or tape.
Oh, I've watched it, yeah.
And the ABC, NBC, those networks, there is serious talk on those shows about him being questionably an open
agent of Russia.
Agent of Russia, Trump.
Yep.
Now, when that begins to, I mean, Watergate never got that far.
No.
You know what I'm saying? This is way past, and we are in constitutional crisis right
we
now.
We are.
Republicans. Yes, we are. That Republican Senate, I don't understand. I don't understand what's going on, but it comes from a very dark place.
Yeah, well, McConnell has absolutely no credibility whatsoever. All he wants is power for himself and his party. That's all he cares about. And if he has to kiss Trump's ass to get it, that's exactly what he's going to do. And he's a conniving guy, and he should be. And next year he's up for election. So let's donate to anybody who will run against him and vote him out of the Senate in Kentucky next year. Let's make that a point.
I'd love to see Ashley Judd run for his seat.
Wouldn't that be something?
She's capable. She's very capable. And she allowed, she was going to do it like 9 years ago, and she allowed the DNC machine to tell her she didn't have enough experience.
Yeah. Well, these are different times nowadays, and the new influx of Democrats are a lot different than the old DNC crowd. So that's a very hopeful sign, you know. And Kamala Harris, she could very well end up in the White House. I hope she does, because she'd be a very good alternative. She's younger, she's brighter, she's on top of her game, she knows the score, and she's none of them are flawless, but the days of Bernie Sanders and Joe Biden and all these other guys, I don't see them rising to the top.
I don't either. And I think they're needful to be in a part of the restructuring of things, especially the ideals of many of Bernie Sanders' ideals.
Absolutely.
I don't personally like the guy. I've seen him up close and personal. I don't like him. I think he's a misogynist. But here's the thing. His ideas are sound for the large community.
Absolutely.
And he has always put these forth, you know, and until there are a sincere, devoted, and savvy, cunning, witful, you know, knowledgeable woman sitting at a table of power with balance. Well, we have things beginning to turn to where they need to go in order for us to survive.
I've been very impressed with what I've seen of Kamala Harris on TV, and she has given me a lot of hope for the future. I really hope I'm going to contribute to her campaign. I believe that much in her. I think she belongs in the White House. I really do.
I like
and let me interject.
That. But the field is still open.
Yeah.
Sorry.
As much as I love, and he's from, you know, the Delmarva Peninsula area. He's up around the Wilmington area. I agree. Right now he's too old. I'd be glad to have him as a mentor to mentoring
or an advisor.
It would be a comedy to see him going against Trump in a lot of too many ways. It really would, because he would bite on the straight lines, you know,
whereas
a woman would stand up and say, as Hillary did, you're kidding me, right?
Yeah.
You're
kidding. Well, she's more than capable of trashing Trump. I know that. So.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I believe that. But then again, I happen to believe, gentlemen, that Daffy Duck could run against Trump in the next election and win.
Plenty of Republicans getting ready to step up to go against him, too, like the former governor of Ohio.
Yeah, Kasich.
Kasich, thank you, right. Because he refused to the Republican convention in Cleveland in his own state because he knew Trump was a treasonous, criminal, money laundering bastard, and the way he ran his campaign without any dignity, the slanderous schoolyard bully shit.
He refused
at a Republican convention.
Well, you know, Beto O'Rourke is not out of the running yet, and neither are Kristen Gillibrand has tossed her hat in, but I think she's a very capable senator.
I'd like her better in the Senate, though.
Yeah, I have a little thing against her about her jumping on top of
Al Franken.
Al Franken. But the thing is that I don't let that color really what she's capable of doing as a leader.
Right.
And I don't think she has the wherewithal that a woman like Kamala Harris has, or even a fellow like Julian Gonzalez.
Castro.
I'm sorry. I'm not real impressed with him over the women, though. And I still like
Elizabeth Warren. She's a great lady. But I don't know that she's up to – I don't think that she can beat Trump. I think she could win an argument with him, but I don't know if she can convince enough voters to win the election.
Well, yeah, you probably have a good point, but the people – you know, remember, too, that, you know, it's like our dear friend Ronald, you know, the progressive professor knows stuff. What he knows is mostly history, and he's been shocked in the last 3 years about, you know, what has happened in this country, and he's having to learn and grow with each shift, as we all are.
Yeah.
As far as forecasting goes, I mean, he still thinks the best bet is someone like Biden, because he's like the shoe-in, like he thought Gwen Graham was the shoe-in here, and yet it was Gillum who took it, and I knew he would, because he's a good man and he's a progressive. And you got millennials who are now in there voting, and they're critical thinkers. You've got women now who are Republican women who will be voting for a Democrat.
Hillary had too many enemies. God bless her. You know, it's too bad what happened to her, and she would have been a very, very fine president. But she had too many enemies, and that worked against her. And
I guess we can thank Bill
for that, but regardless, she's history. She will not run again, and she will not win again. And it's time for new voices and younger voices. And my vote goes to Kamala Harris, with maybe Beto as a VP.
Well, I'm going to tell you something, Jack. As far as running this country goes and what's going on in the world right now, and being knowledgeable, especially about Putin and how he works.
Oh, yeah. Hillary knows.
I'll tell you, I'll tell you two people who, if they're not sitting on the cabinet, will be in that White House, in the new Democratic White House, and that will be A, Hillary Clinton and Barack Obama.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Both
yeah.
of them. And if they aren't, then the person sitting in the Oval Office is a goddamn fool.
Yeah. Now, what Wayne, you're no longer in Ohio anymore, are you?
No, I was offered a position back home here as a process engineer. So I'm back home on the Delmarva Peninsula, the Eastern Shore of Maryland.
Yeah, that's right. So it's unfortunately you're not really close by John Kasich and can't really cover it from a real close angle. But I am intrigued by the fact that he's making some kind of noise of running against Trump. I don't know if it'll happen or not, but I'd love to see it happen. I'd love to see Trump primaried and backed into a corner and destroyed.
Right. I still have very, very good friends. Columbus will always be my second home. And
yeah.
I always have my pulse, my man on the street, several men and women on the street giving me feedback of what's going on in the, well, at least Central Ohio. I can't say much for Toledo and some other in the down south where, you know, you're getting more in kind of the Klan mentality kind of stuff. But I can speak for Columbus area. Columbus has always been very progressive because of Ohio State universities
and
the
and
higher
it,
education.
Didn't it go to Clinton, that one area of
Absolutely. Yeah. Well, also, they were the ones that also delivered Obama. That and Cincinnati and Cleveland, those areas. Those were the ones that really delivered Ohio for Obama in his second term.
What do you think of the governor, Jack, what do you think of the governor of Washington State who's talked his hat into the Democratic, Casey? I can't remember. I'm sorry. He's the eco, the green man that
I you know, there have been so doggone many, I can't remember his name either.
I'm on a blank, but yes, he is very green energy kind of. And the thing is, that's going to be the future. It's not going to be politics that decides green energy. It's going to be free market capitalism.
Right, yeah.
Isn't it going to be policy?
Drive
it. Because it was policy in Germany that drove it, and it's driving it in the UK.
Oh, yeah, yeah. You know, I just, the Democrats need a, you know, one of the reasons I like Kamala Harris is the reason is this. California, we call it one state, but it's in reality, it's many. It's a real conglomeration of a lot of different communities.
Yes, it is, and they've made big differences in the political swing over and over again.
Yeah, and because of that, she's very adept at winning statewide office the way she has. Even though she hasn't governed for that long, she's been at the helm in the background doing stuff for many years, and she knows that state. And because of that, I think she could run a very, very effective campaign. And she's no dummy. She knows what's going on.
Well,
so I would wholeheartedly throw my support behind Kamala Harris. I really would.
I saw her rebuttal to the uber lefty challenge of her not of her letting a bunch of cases go. The progressives have challenged her status as the AG because she let cases go. She followed the letter of the law.
She did. You know, I saw that on Rachel Maddow, I think it was, too. Yeah,
yeah.
So I'm not concerned about her in the least or her leftness. And, you know, we can't put out these purity rags and expect everybody to follow them right to the T. That's unrealistic. We should have learned from the past on that one.
Well, over and over and over again.
Yeah, right. There you go. Right.
But it's incredible. I think you're right, and one of the reasons I think that your gut draws you to Ms. Harris is because she has the personality,
yes.
a charisma that shows.
She's classy. She's classy to the core.
Well, yeah, and when you say something like that, a lot of especially progressives will put that into another context. But what she is a lady of substance. She is
absolutely
a woman of.
Yeah, she's not artificial class. She's right. not glittery bullshit. She's the real deal. There's no doubt about it.
Yeah, agreed. I think that she does show a lot of promise. I watched her in the Senate hearings and stuff like that whenever she's been available nationally.
Very good. Yep.
And she's always done an excellent job. She shows skill. She shows knowledge. And she shows sincerity in her judgment, in her votes, and what she backs up, what she says with action. So that makes a big difference. And I think in the end, people are going to look at that. Although, if somebody goes against Trump, who is another Trump, if you will, there's still, I don't think there's the same danger of that kind of republicanism winning a major election at this point right now.
I think Trump's going to spell the end of the Republican Party as we've known it for a long time to come. People ran against, Democrats ran against Herbert Hoover for the next 50 years, and they were successful most of that time. And the same thing's going to happen with Trump. He has turned so many people off, and he is so dangerous and so anti everything that we've grown up with. It's a miracle the son of a bitch even made it, which just shows you Hillary was very unpopular, although she was very qualified. So, it's a miracle that he made it into the White House. I'm still shocked.
Well, I want to mention a little something on this broadcast. I want to mention my appreciation for the intelligence and the brokering that was done by the Speaker of the House.
Oh, yes.
I appreciate her leadership.
Knowledge and knew how to play a fool.
And she's got a fight to go. She's got a fight to go. A very short period of time for, anything to happen. Jack, if he declares a state of emergency,
well, that'll be challenged in the court, and that'll be thrown out right away.
That's right, Jack. That's what I was. He can threaten it, but it'll go instantly into the courts.
Yeah.
Into his courts. You mean Kavanaugh?
No. Even that horrible Kavanaugh court, even that won't support his. It's a contrived emergency. There is no emergency. There are no hordes of people down south just dying to get across the border, sneaking under. It's just not happening. So this mass migration to our border, or immigration into our border. Happened during the Bush administration, for Christ's sake. That's 20 years ago.
Yes.
It isn't happening today because, one, the economy's a lot better. Two, we have made some contribution to Latin America's well-being, although we can do a lot more. But it's not as dire straits for people that are living down there now as it was earlier. So, and in the old days, Bush and the Republicans and Cheney would just gladly look the other way because they wanted to weaken the labor unions.
Exactly. You nailed it.
Yep.
All that, like, I tell you what, we saw a lot around here because we have the Purdue, like Frank Purdue and the Wappler Longacres and the Tyson chicken processing plant.
Right.
All, basically they became all Spanish-speaking workforce in there.
Yeah, they wanted cheap labor, and they got it.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Well,
personally, I kind of welcome them because they were coming here not only to make a better life for themselves, but a better life and a potential better future for their children. That's a motivated woman that wants to come up, that'll come to this country to make their lives and their family more survivable in the future.
Yeah, and unlike some certain right-wing elements, they weren't coming up here just for a welfare check. What a bunch of nonsense. Everybody's so damn afraid of anybody getting anything that they can't have themselves. It's disgusting. But it's typical of those guys.
Typical racism. They hated the Jews.
Yeah.
They hated the Italian.
But look at what's happening, guys. I mean, you have either the rise of feminine authority in countries right now or the rise of despotism. Look what's happening to Brazil. And by the way, while we're heading into probably a very large winter storm crisis, the kind that's, a Katrina thing, what's been going on with the despot that came in to power in Brazil, they just had their it's the Brumadinho Dam collapse.
Oh, yeah, that was terrible.
Brazil. Yeah, hundreds of people are still missing. I mean, there's and it's probably much more than that with that mudslide. And how the country, it's like I said from, a few months back, this is a seminal moment in history for this country, and I think really for the planet. It's not going to be the leadership, really, that it's going to be the people that make the difference. When Abe Lincoln signed the Emancipation Proclamation and he and his henchmen got stuff shifted through the Congress, remember, in those days, they were playing it too, okay?
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
And
in every age.
It's been that way since the boys started sitting around in skirts in the Coliseum.
Oh, yeah.
And started, this is called patriarchy. And basically, it became that, anyways, what I'm saying is, when I say patriarchy, I'm not saying about men. I'm saying about that masculine form of projective government and social dynamic, and there are plenty. And look at Susan Collins, is a patriarch.
Yeah, she might be on the way out too. We'll see. She's riding a tightrope over there in Maine.
Oh, she better be. She better be voting for Kavanaugh that way after telling all those women.
Oh my God, yeah.
No, she better be. I mean,
yeah,
I'm not supposed to be saying that. Stephen King is like, she better be. When you get Stephen King texting at least three times or tweeting at least three times a week something nasty about this president and the Republicans, that's going and Rawling, she hits up her government, but she hits up this government more, these Republicans.
Yeah.
And my point with that is so many more people pay attention to them on the street level than they do the newscasters. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, they do.
It makes a big difference. When somebody like Jamie Lee Curtis or Alyssa Milano come onto a stage and say, me too, and this is enough, a lot more women hear it.
When the popular culture adopts something, it's you can't throw it over. You can't just throw it off the bus anymore.
And that's how Trump won. You know that, right? That's how Trump won. And so that's the marker, I think. But did you see what happened? I wanted to ask you, Jack, and you, Wayne, personally, what you thought. Did you see the piece on the Catholic schoolboys in the face of the Native American elder?
Yes, from Kentucky. Absolutely.
With the MAGA
egregious,
son.
Murking little punk asshole.
Boy, yeah, that's unbelievable.
That shit would have been on. I would have made him my bitch. It was going to be.
Well, I'll tell you, there is a hell of a lot of ignorance out there and a lot of ignorance in the media and a lot of stuff that people just take for granted, and they think they know what's going on and they really don't. And that's a perfect example right there of young guys that should know better but don't. They are clueless, but they're making big decisions and they're taking bad actions.
Look,
well,
they were empowered by the people chaperoning them. They were there to make demands of saying that an adult woman cannot make her choice of what to do medically with her body.
Yeah,
quite right. That's
and
quite right.
If they to see, you know, the space shuttle from Goddard or something like that in the Smithsonian, they were there to be political asshole tools. And they just,
well,
and all, you know, they bought their little maggot hats. I
yeah.
call them maggots now.
Yeah, maggot,
like
yeah.
Maggot. Everybody does.
Yeah.
All molded and then got in that poor man's face and screw them. Like
yeah.
I said,
oh,
his ass.
There's nothing
for
that. Elder.
You know, if you want to oppose abortion, you can do it on a number of different grounds, and you don't have to be offensive
or demeaning. Or
what's happening on the phone here? Hello.
You're there.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, it just went out on me here for a moment. You don't have to be offensive or demeaning or scandalous or you know, you don't have to be offensive. And so many of these guys choose to do that because that's easy. They think that when they dominate the conversation that way that they're winning the argument, but they're not.
Jackie, would you like me to ship you a new couple of tin cans and string?
Was I cutting out again?
She's getting worn out on the other one.
I had to. I just had to. I love it. Jack, you can go ahead and hit me.
What was I cutting out again?
No, you're,
the kids
you just
must.
Did it one time, but, you know, you use a landline still, and it's like, oh, wow.
Well, for Christ, you know, a lot of people use landlines, for Christ's sake.
I know, I'm being an asshole, but.
Yeah, it's not that I have to, for Christ's sake, but I don't want to wear down the battery on my phone and be on it for an hour at a time, you know. So I just use the landline. What the hell? It's been here since I was a kid, you know.
It's the same number? Same number?
Yeah.
Have you got the same number since you were a kid?
I think they changed the numbers at one point. It was quite a while, quite many, many years ago, though. But, yeah, I've been here for a long time, and and I've had this phone for a long time, too. So,
I can still remember.
It doesn't have a dial, though. they finally went to push button years ago, but... I'll look for a dial phone and send that to you for Christmas, Gwen. How's that sound?
I haven't had a landline I've got a landline, but it's a landline through the internet. You call me on it, my 800 number.
Oh, okay.
That's actually a landline, but it's internet-based.
Oh, okay.
And it's really weird, but you know how it cracks out on us a lot and stuff? So, but,
oh, yeah.
I wanted to mention with this thing with the MAGA hats and stuff, Alyssa Milano said, she tweeted out, and she made a meme of it, and she's quite right. She said the red MAGA hat is the new hood.
Mm.
Hood.
It is
know,
the new
KKK. It's the new symbol
yeah.
of white supremacy in this country. And you know what? She's quite right. She really is quite right about that.
Well, I'm glad I don't have one.
Well, yeah, in certain neighborhoods, it might be a good idea to keep one in the globe.
Oh, my God, yeah. Holy Christ.
I mean,
well, here's the other thing. I've been getting back to the young boy. As soon as it was made nationally public of him being an asshole to that elder, his mom came out and said, "It wasn't his fault. It was the black Muslim's fault."
Oh, God. Pure ignorance, man! Pure ignorance.
So this is the kind of emboldening, the explaining away, the apologetic, nihilistic crap that comes out of that far right mentality. Just make up something and throw shit at it and hope it sticks.
Well, also Republican Congressman, that's where I saw Kemp's name. It was a guy who works with Kemp, was the Republican PR person who went in and told the boy what to say and what to put out on all of the TV shows this week, where that came from.
Yeah,
and
exactly.
Yeah, and it's all right-wing crap. Yeah, it's just pure division. It's just pure division. And Jack, you're quite right. I do believe and have voted for and will stand up for a woman's right to choose.
However, I'm not a big abortion fan. I don't like abortion, but it is a woman's right. It's not anybody else's right to tell her what to do, just like it's not right to tell her to have a colonoscopy or not have one. You know, why don't they keep their damn mouth shut and mind their own business?
Or to tell a man to get vasectomized.
Absolutely.
Or to, this is against women in general, and it's more of that socialized crap that's been happening for thousands of years.
Exactly.
Things don't
we get women the right to vote. You know that, right? That's where all this started.
What?
I'm being facetious in the statement.
Oh.
I kind of thought so.
Jack, you rarely give us stories, and I always am mouthing off about my past or family. But what was your mom like? I mean, I can see in you what your mom was like in some way.
Well, she was very much a New Deal Democrat. She grew up during the Great Depression. She came from a big family, and her mother died of cancer, and the family broke up. And the older ones were able to hang on by a bootstrap, by a thread. And the younger ones, some of them were put into orphanages. Some of them lived in foster homes. And it was a very bad time for them, very bad. And of course, World War II helped strengthen the economy. And we pulled out of that, but it was a terrible time for them. And so she was very, very strongly Democratic till the day she died. She was strongly Democratic, and she was to the left of me in many ways. And in certain other ways, she was she hated abortion. She didn't like it at all, and she was kind of conservative on that issue. But she, on many other things, she was very, very strongly liberal.
Yeah, I kind of got that because
we used to, as a matter of fact, she was kind of a hellraiser in her own way. In the school district, one of our very popular teachers was fired after 2 years, and his contract wasn't renewed, and it was a big outcry, and it caused a sit-in during my 11th grade year. We had a sit-in that involved half the 3,000 student high school sat in that day to protest this guy being railroaded out of office just because an older conservative teacher didn't like him. So who was a local Republican Party chairman at the time, and so it raised complete holy hell, and it opened up a lot of student eyes. I'll tell you, a lot of people became lifelong activists as a result of that. And so she was she went up to the office, was raising hell with the commission, with the superintendent. I mean, I was real proud of her.
Oh, wow. My mom was an Ike Republican, but she was also a Reagan Republican. And she was a good Catholic. She chose
big,
to be
big
a
difference
Catholic.
Between those two, I would say. Yeah.
And she taught my sister and I that we had the right to choose. And if we got in trouble, to come home, because she would be with us no matter what.
Yeah.
And she also took me to lunch, with Junior League, to sit down just next to Gloria Steinem and listen to her. And my mother was a woman's right, a suffragetter. And she was a Republican, and she held.
Well, a number of them were.
Teddy Roosevelt,
Yeah.
She began to wonder about things with Reagan. She began to wonder about things with, but she also would, chastise us if we were sitting at the bar rail or wherever having a few, and say no sex, no politics. Of course, that never worked. But, she was of that era, too, the 30s you talk about. about and certain things you don't.
Right,
and
yeah.
So there was that, which she never really did successfully translate to her daughters. But
right, yeah.
This,
well,
this
times did change, and for the better in many respects. And she was unfortunately, my mother was the same way. She's staunchly very Catholic, and that explained her anti-abortion stance. And I'm not a flaming abortion advocate by any stretch. I see very many flaws in the choice to have an abortion. It is a woman's right, but I really believe in many ways, in many respects, it's kind of a coward's way out.
Well, it depends on the woman's
on the circumstances.
And there's also this, the church vehemently has have not given women the right to use birth control either.
That's right. I know. That's insane, isn't it? That's.
It is.
I don't know how they can equate that with abortion. It's not the same by any stretch.
Not in my mind. It certainly wasn't.
Not at all.
Mom.
No.
And she got last rights. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah. And and you know what, Gwen? That explains maybe why there has been such a mass exodus from the Catholic Church, because their stand on birth control is just it's incredibly weird.
The priests are kidding, screwing your kids. I mean, come on.
Oh my, yeah, here we go. Yeah, I know it's so paradoxical.
Well, that's been going
Gwen,
on for 2,000 years, Wayne. Yeah. You know, that's not just
Gwen,
today.
Let me share this story with you. I have really it's a second cousin. He's a dual-degreed engineer, electrical and mechanical, there in West Virginia, and his wife is a school teacher. They were in their 30s and going to have their first child. She's pregnant, they're monitoring and stuff, and it was like in the six-month period that they realized that her folic acid wasn't high enough and the child had no brain. They have the medulla oblongata, which controls the heartbeat and things like that, then breathing and stuff. But the child had no brain. It did not develop.
Oh, wow.
Well,
and
basically what they did was we call it the partial birth late-term abortion, which is less hard on the mother, let her heal up, and then they were able to try again. Like I said, they're already in their mid-30s, and let her try again, and now they have a healthy baby boy. Well, here in Ohio, I was just talking about this on the radio with Adam Lepp, the one that Professor Ron always speaks on about on a weekly basis there in Ohio, and I was relaying that story because Ohio has just passed, and the governor has just signed, the Republican governor has just signed, if there's a heartbeat, you cannot have a removal of the child, no abortion. Well, that child had a heartbeat. He had no brain, but he had a heartbeat. And I can't think of anything cooler than teaching a woman to carry a child for, 3 more months, that child in her womb is dead.
It's not only that, Wayne. It's the fact that so many men, even pediatricians and obstetricians, they know this, these doctors know this, but they do not pronounce it, that childbirth itself is a traumatic experience for the body of a woman. And a woman sacrifices from the day she becomes a woman, 12, 13, used to be 14 when I was a kid. Now it's as young as 8 years old, which this is evolution, I guess, of the species.
Wow, yeah, it's gradually gotten lower. Yeah, that's true.
A woman knows sacrifice of blood. A woman knows sacrifice of blood naturally. A man has war. It's just the truth. That's a historic truth. Not every man is like that. Not every woman is like that.
Right.
But these are facts. And when you can't let women choose to regulate their cycles so that they can enjoy a healthy relationship with their husband for emotional and marital support and not be afraid of becoming pregnant because your society demands or you choose to have a full career or job or whatever, for whatever reason, when you are told you can't regulate your own body like that, when the science is there and has advanced, this is just insane.
It just strikes at the very root of freedom. You either have freedom or you don't. You're either dictated to and have to obey, or you choose your own course. And it's a lifelong struggle that especially women have to face, but it's something that people have to come to grips with and just deal with it in the best way that they can. And they don't need any outside force tainting the way for them or telling them how to do things.
And they choose their own spiritual guidance. And many
That's true, too.
Or to the medicine woman, or to, you know, the imam, or to, you know, the Baptist preacher, or whoever they go to.
Yeah, whatever,
Or they go sit in the field and be one with the universe, whatever it is.
Right.
You know good people when you meet them.
Absolutely.
We're old enough. We are old enough. We've been down the road this far that we can usually trust our instincts, can't we?
Yes,
on people.
Yeah.
I mean, we make mistakes, but we have lessons to learn still.
Yeah.
It's just, and we're coming down to the last few minutes, and I want to remember to say before we get out of here in time to let Jack and Wayne and everybody say who they are, what they do, where they can be found.
You can see me at the Saturday afternoon post. Jodell53.com, www.jodell with two L's, 53.com, and that's how you can get there. And I have at least two posts a week every week, and we try to make them as enlightening and on a lot of different topics, not always politics, but a lot of times it is, and economics too, social comment, all kinds of things. So please stop by and visit and comment if you like.
And Wayne?
And this is Wayne Johnson. I can be found on The Minds, plural, and Times, plural, of F. Wayne Johnson. A lot of postings on my past of being down in South America, what I saw firsthand with the military juntas down there, my thoughts of conservatism and how, from their own recognition and admission, knowing that it's wrong when they try to promote things, just to pad their agenda. But there you go. Some good reading that really kind of laid out my personal life on there, and you get a little bit better know of everyone is the sum of their own life's experiences, and that's what I'm talking about there.
Thank you.
And everybody, keep pushing forward.
I'm Gwen Berry, and you can find me on Facebook under Gwendolyn H. Berry. And remember to visit my little business, daughtersofisis.com. It is a website of fragrance, the fragrant expression of our ancestors and their spiritual expressions. I call it the fragrant memories of our ancestors. Boy, I really fumbled that one out, Jack. I'm trying to think ahead here. I need a little.
Well, you were stumbling forward. That's fine, though, too, as long as you go forward.
Anyway, this has been our progressive roundtable. We hit on issues. We always welcome calls. And thank you for listening. We'll be back at 6 p.m. next Sunday for Here Be Monsters Radio, The Sunday Show with Jack Jodell, Wayne Johnson, and myself. Thank you for listening. Don't.